today on Real Radio.
As believers, as Christians, there are things that you and I are not only to apply in the profiling of other people's lives, but the main thing is profiling our own lives. In other words, what we say and what we do as believers match up, and that's Paul's passion.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the last six verses of chapter 12. It's a section of Scripture where the apostle addresses the necessary outward, visible behavior of the believer. In other words, the world is watching us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in an introduction of his mini-series called By the Way You Walk.
2 Corinthians 12, 16 to 21 is the portion of Scripture. And I want to draw your attention in a moment to what comes to your mind. Be thinking now, what comes to your mind when you think of a notable walk? I want to hear from you for a moment. What comes to mind? When I ask you about a notable or famous walk, what comes to your mind? Say it out loud. What? Well, somebody's walk. Who? John Wayne. Let's take a look at John Wayne's walk and a few others right now. Put your eyes on the screen. Now, I don't know if I would have put that music to that kind of a walk. But that is officially the most famous walk in the world. John Wayne's walk. What about another walk that comes to mind? Let's look at the next walk that's famous. Charlie Chaplin, no doubt about it, famous walk. Now, this next one, you're going to have to be very quick because, believe it or not, his walk has become world famous, except unless you watch his movies, it's hard to get a clip of him walking, but he's famous for walking. And I'm going to ask you to look now. Don't miss it. It's very quick, this next walk. Jack Sparrow's walk. If you get a chance, watch him walk. It's the freakiest looking walk you've ever seen. What's my point? You can determine something about someone by their walk. And it is absolutely true regarding biblical witness that you and I have as a Christian. People can tell a lot about us by our spiritual walk. We are walking, the Bible tells us, with God in this world. So listen, grab your Bibles, turn 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. There the Bible says, Paul speaking to us, "But be that as it may, I did not burden you." We studied that last week. "Nevertheless, being crafty," here's some more sarcasm, "being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not," and here's the reason for our title, "did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, beloved, for your edification." Verse 20, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as by you do not wish, lest there be," listen to this, "litany of sins, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions." Remember, he's talking about a church here. "Backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults." Verse 21, "lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented." It means what we're about to read, they're still doing these things. "Of uncleanness, fornication, lewdness, which they have practiced." This is tremendous. You guys, listen up to what he's saying here. Paul is saying that I'm intending to come to you. And when I come, I don't want you to be upset when I come, watch this, because of your conduct. If you're living in a certain way, when I arrive, you can bank on this one thing, he's saying to them. I'm going to address how you're living. I'm not going to sweep it under the carpet. If you're living in a certain way, Corinthians, and I show up and you're still messing up like that, I'm going to address it. And so I'm going to be very grieved over this. And I will not be able to welcome you and be welcomed by you as I ought, and you won't be able to do the same. Because there's going to be issues that I, as your spiritual father, it is incumbent upon me to deal with. So do you have the stage set? It's all about how you walk. It's all about how we're living. And as he comes to the end of this great book, he really drives it home. So number one, mark this down if you would. It's found in verse 1, or I should say our first point in verse 16. By the way you walk, we know this in verses 16 to 18, is that they and others can tell by your witness. How can somebody tell how you're walking as a believer? Well, they can tell by our witness. Our witness matters. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, because it's politically incorrect to say this. But I want you to know something. It is one of the biggest fallacies in the world today, and I mean that without grandizement. Profiling. You ever heard about it? Profiling? Are we supposed to profile? No. You say no. Without hesitation, you say no. Who has told you not to profile? The government has told you not to profile. Does the government profile? Yes. Are they reading your emails? Hello. Are they listening now to our sermons? Hello. Do they not listen in on your phone calls? Hello. The government says, don't you profile, but they profile. And if you doubt that, try to get on an airline. Try to get on a plane. They are profiling. Did you know that they've hired people and trained them to profile? Did you know profiling is a good thing if safety is the issue? Now look, if people want to spy on you, they don't like that. They'll think of some other term or whatever it is. But let me tell you something right now. Church, when we go to Israel, do you know something? We specifically pick an airline to take you on for your own safety. Did you know that? We specifically pick the safest airline in the world. What makes them the safest? They are outspoken proponents of, what's the word? Profiling. Profiling. In fact, they profile so good. Do you know who I'm talking about? They profile so good that you ain't getting on one of their airplanes without you being yourself being profiled, and you're not leaving their country without you yourself being profiled. I'm talking about El Al, the national airline of Israel. One thing you know for sure, when you get on that plane and you sit down and they shut the door, you are now officially on the safest airline in the world. Your baggage, they tell you up front, we're going to go through your bag before your bag gets on. Don't even attempt to lock your bags. We're going to look at everything. They look at everything. And I got to tell you, I'm making this story really quick because it was a very long story. I was leaving the country once. I was leaving Israel, and they're more concerned, by the way, what you take out of the country versus what you bring in because of their technology. They want to know about your pictures. Where were you and all this stuff? Well, I had just got done meeting with a general of the Israeli Air Force. And I was in his home, and I had a great time with him. And he gave me a patch, a fighter squadron patch. And so this little 18, 19-year-old girl at the airport says to me, do you have any gifts that anybody gave you? And I said, no, I didn't even think about it. I wasn't lying, because I wasn't even thinking about it. No. And she goes, okay, well, she's asking me some questions. And she said, do you have anything in your bag that I should know about? And that dawned on me. I have a patch, but it's not, what is a patch? And I said, no, nothing to concern you, I'm sure. And she stopped and she looked at me. And I'm old enough to be her dad. And she's looking at me and she goes, come over here. She brings me over here and she goes, I'm going to ask you again. Did anybody give you anything? And I said, yes, I have a patch. She goes, let's look at it now. She made me pull it out. She holds it up and she goes, how did you get this? Who do you know that would have given this to you? So then I mentioned his name. She goes, okay, now you come over here. How do you know him? What relationship do you have? Oh my goodness, I almost started crying. Why? Because she was looking. Listen, I found out later. When I got home, I said, you don't believe what happened to me. And I found out from my Israeli sources, oh yeah, you know what? She was looking at the pupil of your eyes. She was looking at your neck. They're all trained to profile. That's how we have the safest airline in the world. I mean, they'll tear you down. And I said, why did you have to do this to me with a young lady like that? It would have been better if it would have been some gnarly guy. I could have coped with that. But a young girl almost made me cry. And he said, because listen, the young ladies are keen on detail. They're easily taught and they easily profile. They're keen at it. If that can be done in the world, how much so can it be done regarding spiritual things if we are trained? As believers, as Christians, there are things that you and I are not only to apply in the profiling of other people's lives, but the main thing is profiling our own lives. In other words, what we say and what we do as believers match up, and that's Paul's passion in what he is declaring. Verses 16 to 18, by this example, we can tell by your witness, we can tell by your walk, by your Christ-like example. Write that down. Verse 16 and 17, he says, but be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those who I sent to you? Number one thing, Paul is saying this, look at the Christ-like example that we apostles lived out in front of you. We touched on this last time together, church. He is saying, Corinthians, look at our lives. Did we deceive you by being crafty? Were we exercise trickery among you to minister among you? Did we have motives to rob you as believers? The men I send to you, did they rip you off? Man, this is good for today, is it not, church? In the name of Christianity, so much is being done, and it's being done wrong, and it's defaming Christ. So much is being done in the name of Jesus to build up little men, their kingdoms, to get a name out there, to push an agenda that exalts someone's pocketbook or someone's, book sales or whatever it is. It's happening everywhere. Paul is saying, did we use the gospel to somehow take advantage of you to promote ourselves or to promote Jesus Christ? As believers, we're to be emanating a Christ-like example. And when we talk about the word witness here, or an example, we're talking about the spiritual display that, listen everybody, manifests itself in a very physical, tangible way. How will anyone know, listen everybody, I'm feeling very ornery this morning. I want to warn you right now. And I'm going somewhere with this. And God help me, because I'm driven by passions this morning that we'll talk about, I think, in our study. Is to determine what you really believe in, as I've said before, it doesn't matter what you tell me, it matters what you do. What you do announces what you really believe. So if we are Christians, and the term means to follow Christ, and I have the Bible as the judgment rule of what a Christian ought to look like, is my life living up to that example? All of us fail. Don't get me wrong. We all fail in our example to live up to the standard of Christ. When we do not live up to that standard of Christ, listen carefully, how is that manifested maybe in the most predominant way is lack of love, right? Lack of compassion. Lack of gentleness. How about this? Lack of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Are you with me? That's how someone's going to know. That's how the world is going to know if I'm living up to the claim of Christ or not, that godly or Christ-like example. There will be a void in the fruit of the Spirit that is listed there in Galatians chapter 5. So when you look around at the religions of the world, what emanates from their doctrine? Well, you need to know their doctrine. When you take little children this week and you behead them, and then put their little heads on poles and lift them up and march around the countryside as ISIS is doing, and take U.S. military howitzer cannons and line them up at the base of a mountain because you've got nothing better else to do, and launch rocket attacks with U.S. equipment, mind you, that they've apprehended, and launch an attack against a mountaintop to kill women and children because they're not Muslims. What is that? It's the living out of the doctrine that they hold to. How can you tell who's who? By what emanates from their lives. And dear family of God, wake up. It is obvious the toothpaste has been squeezed out of the tube in these last few months or maybe longer, and it ain't going back in. The world has changed. The influence of ISIS now stirring things up in Belgium, Germany, Russia, Indonesia. Something's happening, church. Something's happening. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to be Christ-like examples, but we must know what the Bible says about it. These are amazing days. I believe the toothpaste is out of the tube prophetically. I don't think it's going to go back in. And so we are, as Christians, incumbent upon us to be leaving behind a witness, a display of what honors Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 2, 1, he wrote to them in the first epistle, "I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is our mandate order today for us. In light of all that's going on in the world, what are we supposed to do? Christian, you are to announce Jesus Christ having been crucified, because those who want to kill you say Jesus was not crucified. Did you know that? Know that. They say Jesus did not die for your sins. What do you know about that? Do you know what the Bible says about that? He says in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 2, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration," there's the word witness, "in the demonstration, witness, example of the Spirit and of power." That is our marching orders for today, Christian. In these increasingly bizarre days, there was nothing deceptive about his ministry, but they were accusing him of it. In 1 Timothy 6:13, he said to Timothy, "I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate." Jesus bore witness of his relationship to heaven. And we are to do the same exact thing. This message, I believe, may not be so important to you today, but I believe as time goes on, it is going to become more important to us. Because the most important thing that you and I can possess is not what's in our wallet. It's what's in our heart and what's coming out of our feet and our hands as these evil days wax worse and worse. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. My heart is sickened over this. Now mark this. I'm going to read this verse, and this verse is relating to the tribulation period, which we are not even in yet. It hasn't even come. But listen to how timely the Bible is. We see the opening throes of such activities. Revelation 20, verse 4. Listen to their witness. "I saw thrones," John says, "and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God." The Bible says in the tribulation period, that is a 7-year period of time to come, that the predominantly Gentile world will suffer by the wrath of Almighty God. And during those 7 years, God specifically deals with the salvation of the nation Israel. God will use Israel to witness the gospel to the world. The Bible says that those who come to Christ will be more than the sands of the sea that come out of the great tribulation period. But they're going to be very different than you. They are not the bride of Christ, as you are the church. They are the tribulation saints. And you and I are to live for Jesus Christ now. That is our spiritual job, is to live for Christ. Do you understand that? Your job, my job, is to live for Jesus publicly before the world. Okay? During the tribulation period, it's not the saints' job at that period of time to live before the world for Jesus Christ. Their job is to die for the testimony of Jesus Christ before the world. The Bible says they will be beheaded. Isn't it bizarre? Do you remember reading the Bible 20 years ago and wonder when you came to that verse, how in the world could that ever happen again? What kind of a nincompoop, cockeyed culture would ever decapitate people? And now it's starting to sweep the world. 111 nations, according to the CIA, 111 nations this week are involved in the persecution of Christians, the most recorded in recent human history. 111 nations, according to the CIA. What are we supposed to do? Follow Jesus. Be a witness. Why? Because the world will be able to tell where our loyalty lies by how we walk. Recognizable. That's John Wayne's walk. That's Charlie Chaplin's walk. That's Jack Sparrow's walk. And that's my walk. People look at us, it may be, look, it may be the person in your house, it may be your neighbors, it could be somebody at the job, or somebody in the community, or it could be nationally. They're looking at you and they're saying, I can tell by their walk, they know Jesus. You can't hide from it, it's true. Secondly, by your integrity towards others. People can judge our walks by our integrity toward others. When he says, I urged Titus and I sent our other brother with him, did Titus take advantage of you? What's that statement meaning? That's awesome. Paul is saying, I had a certain testimony and witness among you. I've discipled others and they walk just like I walk, he's saying. Because why? Because we walk like Jesus. A walk of integrity. We don't have to belabor this. When he says that he urged them, it's a beautiful word. He urged them. The word means to call near, parakaleo. We've studied that word before in previous studies. It means to call near, to pull them in tight. So close, by the way, you can stamp your identity, your ownership mark on them. Tattoo them if you would. You could put your, Paul says, I put my tattoo upon them. That's how much they represent me. Oh, and by the way, that tattoo I put upon them, it's the same tattoo I got from Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing also. If you have little children, you are supposed to be raising up your children real parakaleo near you. And isn't it cute, you guys, have you noticed that when mommy or daddy communicates without words to the little ones, you're going to know it? You want to know how you're going to know it? Because you're going to see your little Mr. America in your house. Your Mr. America is going to, the little boy, your little son, he's going to put on your work gloves, your yard gloves, or your boots. And he's trying to walk around in them. Or maybe he grabs dad's ball cap and he puts it on and his head's about 10 sizes too small for the cap, but he doesn't feel that way. You know what? He puts on daddy's hat and he walks different. He walks like John Wayne. You know what I'm talking about? What about a little girl? You ever hear her coming down the hallway before you ever see her? Click, 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 click. You don't even have to see her. You know already she's got mommy's high heels on. She's got her wedding dress on. I know it's so cute. Our granddaughter, she had said something. She alluded to, she had gotten all dressed up. And Rebecca, my daughter, said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm going to marry daddy. Isn't that the sweetest thing in the world? What are they saying? They're mimicking. Integrity. You cannot follow Jesus without integrity permeating your spiritual life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called By the Way You Walk. By the Way You Walk is actually a mini-series taken from the last six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter. And we'll continue with more of By the Way You Walk on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that if you missed any of Pastor Jack's TV programs, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, all you got to do is visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then simply click on the button that says Watch. There's a list of past programs. Just click the one you want, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.